A very good morning to one and all. It is a joy to worship with you after being absent for more than 17 days. Just to let you know that the Lord is good, He's merciful, because 1 week ago I couldn't speak. I completely lost my voice. Yeah, I caught a cold from my wife. This is called sharing, yeah. But I thank God that He has restored my voice. And when Ming Ling texts to me, Elder Sim, what is your topic? What's your memory verse? I panicked, yeah. Because I couldn't focus on the preparing God's message. But I thank God that He has given me one. And I pray that God will bless us this morning as we meditate upon His word. Yeah. Let us now look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name, and your kingdom come, and may your will be done. Have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and guide us by the Holy Spirit. May you help us in our worship this morning. And in our meditation of your word, may you open our minds to understand and our hearts to receive your truth. May you hide your servant behind the cross so that Christ alone may have the preeminence and glory. Bless everyone present in this sanctuary this today. This we pray, giving thanks in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Today I have chosen to share on the topic Abraham and Christ, with emphasis on the Abrahamic covenant and how God's promises are applicable to Christ. His promises are also applicable to you and to me. And the divisions I have given can be seen in the slide projected. Jesus Christ met with his disciples after he rose from the dead. It's interesting that from one aspect, besides comforting, restoring, strengthening, and reviving them physically as well as spiritually, He also sent the Holy Spirit to him and to them. I'm struck by the fact that he took a lot of time to read and study the scriptures together with them. And this is an aspect that I want to emphasize. Jesus took the trouble to correct their interpretation of scriptures. And he opened their eyes and minds to a deeper understanding of scriptures. And this is the point I want to emphasize. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the deeper truths of God. May I request you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we will read from verses 17 to 18. And it goes like this. This is what Jesus said. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. All of scriptures will be fulfilled. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, I'll read for you. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, that means what is available during that time, which is the Old Testament, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So scriptures is about Jesus Christ. It's centered on our Lord Jesus Christ. This fact is enlightening for the simple reason that the religious leaders who are supposed to be the teachers of the law they have got it wrong. They have got their interpretation of scriptures wrong. They have missed Jesus as the Messiah, and they have crucified him instead. And in Luke chapter 24, verses 48 to 44, I will read for you. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Again, emphasizing the Old Testament is the source of God's truth. Yeah? "Then open he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." Here is the Lord opening their mind to understand. So we need the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to help us understand his scripture, understand scriptures. "And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." So the truth is found in scriptures. The truth is about Jesus Christ, and you have witnessed the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you are now called to be witnesses. To our Lord, scriptures is important because it helps us to understand God's plan. Both Old Testament and New Testament speak prophetically and centrally about Jesus Christ. In order to understand Christ's work and ministry on earth and in heaven, we need to go back to the scriptures. The biblical narratives also provide the impetus for our mission and evangelism. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 to 17, the favorite or familiar verses says, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." To understand the plan of redemption, as one read through the scriptures, one ought to pay attention to two aspects of the biblical narratives. One, what God has done, and two, what God says. Now, what God has done in the past, or he's going to do in the present, or in the future, it forms the basis of unity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Scripture is one story. It is one narrative. All scriptures, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, is one narrative about the redemption of man through Jesus Christ. The OT records the progress of redemption through the Jewish nations of Israel. In contrast, the church, comprising both the Jews and the Gentiles, is the main channel of blessings for the world in the New Testament. Now, the second point, what God says. You often read in the Old Testament, "Thus saith the Lord," or God says, "I will, I will." What God says forms the law. Do you get that? What God says is the law. It is the doctrine, or it is the promises in the scriptures. When God says something in his word, there's a need for us to respond in faithfulness as well as in obedience. And our response of obedience and faith is necessary in order to enjoy his blessings or promises. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, pray for the Lord to open our eyes, to illumine our minds so that we may understand this truth and rightly divide the word of God. Let us now consider the Abrahamic covenant. First, a quotation first. Why is the Abrahamic covenant important? Now, the Abrahamic covenant is the overarching plan that unites God's dealing with his people and bridges the Old and New Testament. This was God's unconditional plan for his people that he will see through to the end. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, he says that, "Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that cursed thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Notice that in verse 1, there is a God says, now the Lord has said unto, so this is what God says, and it just now, as I mentioned, we need a response to that, and that was for Abraham to get out and unto a land, go to the land. This is what God says, and we need to respond in obedience. And in verse 2 and verse 3, all right, verse 2 and verse 3, he says, God says, "I will." Right? God says, this is what God will do. "I will." All right? "I will bless you." Yeah. He says, "I will show you," in verse 1b. And verse 2, he says, "I will make of thee a great nation." And then he says, "I will bless thee." And then verse 3 again, he says, "I will bless them." Yeah. "And all families of the earth shall be blessed." This is what God promised to do. And the word bless, or giving blessing, or being blessed, is mentioned 5 times. And the word "I will" is mentioned even 4 times within these 3 verses. So when you read the Bible, just ask, what did God do? Just ask also, what did God say? Yeah? And I believe that you will derive many, many blessings from these 2 considerations. The Abrahamic covenant is a pivotal statement of the covenant because it contains God's first recorded speech to Abraham. Then 3 main promises are highlighted. Firstly, the promise of land. Secondly, the promise of descendants. And thirdly, the blessing, the promise of blessing and redemption. Now we want to find out whether what God says is true and what God has done. Did God keep his promises? So in Genesis 13, the promises of God to Abraham were reiterated. Then in Genesis 15, it makes clear that the Lord took upon himself alone the responsibility for fulfilling the covenant. This was an unconditional covenant, not based on, you know, the perfect obedience or perfect faithfulness of Abraham, but based on God's prerogative, all right, God taking upon himself for fulfilling the covenant. Then in Genesis, he adds that the revelation that the covenant would be everlasting, perpetual, forever. Then in Genesis 18 to 22, the terms of the covenant was restated in connection with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the offering of Abraham's son Isaac. Genesis 28, the covenant was confirmed to Jacob. So if you read through the Old Testament from Exodus to Deuteronomy, the scriptures describe the initial outworking of the Abrahamic covenant, how God kept his promises and progressively fulfilled parts of the Abrahamic covenant. And the rest of the Old Testament repeatedly refers back to God's oath to Abraham in the Torah, first 5 books. In the New Testament, and this is interesting because the covenant point to Jesus Christ. And this is the point which we'll come back to again, Abraham's seed. Paul identified that Jesus Christ is Abraham's seed, who will make possible the final fulfillment of that covenant in the future. So did God keep his promises to Abraham and his descendants? The answer is yes, and yes, and yes. God's method of fulfilling the Abrahamic covenant is literal. Inasmuch as God partially fulfilled the covenant in history. In Genesis 13, verses 14 to 17, Abraham was given the land. And centuries later, his sons took control of the land during the period of Joshua. This you can read, yeah? So the Lord, in Joshua, for example, in Joshua 21, verse 43, it says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land he has sworn to give his ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there." God blessed Abraham spiritually and materially, and there are many verses referring to that. And we also read that he had numerous descendants. Out of one, then you have the three patriarchs, then you have the 12, and after that you have a nation of 70, after that they multiply in Egypt, it grew and grew into a big nation. Yeah. By the time they go into the wilderness, there was estimated to be 2 to 3 million people, including children and women. It is important to note, so in the modern context, the way God had protected, guided, and blessed the Jewish people against all odds and coming together to form a nation of Israel in 1948 is nothing short of a miracle. In spite of repeated persecutions and oppositions, they have survived as a people where others, like the Assyrians and the Babylonians, had not. God has kept his promises to Abraham, and he will keep his promises to us who believed in him. Yeah. It is important to note a still future fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant remains, the coming of the Messianic kingdom rule in which Israel as a nation will possess the totality of the land in the future. And there are numerous OT passages anticipating the future blessing of Israel and the possession of the land as promised to Abraham. Ezekiel envisions a future day when Israel is restored to the land. And you can read this in Ezekiel chapter 20 and chapter 36. The reference is given there. Oh, it's not there. Okay, I will give it to you. Ezekiel 20, verses 33 to 37, 40 to 42, and chapter 36, 1 to 37. Israel as a nation will be converted, forgiven, and restored. This is in Romans chapter 11. And then Israel will repent and receive the forgiveness of God in the future. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, the Abrahamic covenant finds its ultimate fulfillment in connection with the return of Messiah. The Messiah will return again to rescue and bless his people Israel. It is through the nation of Israel that God promised in Genesis 12 to bless the nations of the world. That ultimate blessing will issue in the forgiveness of sins and Messiah's glorious kingdom reign on earth. And that is coming. And that is coming, yeah? Next, we will consider what's the relevance of the Abrahamic covenant to Christ as well as to me. This is the verse which we read just now for our scripture reading, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made He said not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Paul observes that the singular for seed is used, not the plural. The point is clear, and to your seed, capital S, who is Christ. God is referring to one specific descendant of Abraham, not all his descendants in general. So he's pointing that Jesus Christ is the seed, capital S, of Abraham. And he, from him, all nations will be blessed. For the nation of Israel, the coming of Christ is in accordance to the Abrahamic covenant. This is it. We have read, yeah, many places. Christ is going to be, or is the deliverer of Israel. If you turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, there were many prophecies, all right, which was given of Jesus Christ at the time of his, while he was still a baby in Mary's womb. And one of this is in verses 54 to 55. I'll read for you. He had helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And in verses 68 to 75, I'll read for you. Blessed be the Lord. This is the prayer of Mary while he was still having the baby. Yeah? It says, blessed be the God, the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be safe from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he will grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So these are all prophecies about the seed of Abraham. This deliverance will be accomplished, and the Abrahamic covenant fully fulfilled when the Messiah turns the sons of Israel from their wicked ways. And in Acts chapter 3, right, this is what Peter said, verses 25 to 26, ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, send him to bless you in turning away everyone from your iniquities. Isn't it true? When you come to Jesus Christ, he says that repent of your sins, your sins be washed in his blood. And if you accept Jesus Christ and receive him into your heart, you become, all right, his children. How about the believers? For believers, including us, like Isaac, it says that we are the children of promise. We are not children of flesh. It says that now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And by faith and not by works, believers are children of Abraham, the man of faith. And for the promise that he should be their heir of the world was not up to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It is by faith, right, that we become the children of God. And to be a Christian is to be Abraham's seed, small s, yeah? And the verse is, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So the promises to Abraham continue to hold true for Christian believers. And here is the good news, according to Paul, that there can be no disannulling by the law of God which comes afterwards. So what's the conclusion here? The promises, before I come to that, I must say that Scripture is God's truth, and Scriptures cannot be broken. God keeps his promises to Abraham eternally. The promises to Abraham also holds true for Christian believers. And by faith, it is by faith, not works, that we find our identity in Christ, the seed of Abraham. We are one in Christ, and no racial, gender, or social status can separate us. If we are in Christ, then we find our place in eternity because we are sons and daughters of God. If we are Christ, then we find our place in society because we are brothers and sisters in the family of God. If we are Christ, then we find our place in history because we are part of God's plan of the ages, related spiritually to Abraham by our faith in Jesus Christ. I like this quote from Reverend John Stott. He says that this is a three-dimensional statement which we gain when we are in Christ, in height, in breadth, and in length. In its height, it connects us to God. In its breadth, it connects us with each other in Jesus. In its length, it connects us with a long line of God's people through all ages. And it enables me to answer the most basic of all human questions. Who am I? And to say or to answer, in Christ, I am a son of God. In Christ, I am united to all the redeemed people of God, past, present, and future. In Christ, I discover my identity. In Christ, I find my feet. In Christ, I come home. So the challenges I pose are these. Do you love the Word of God? And do you treasure Christ? Number two, are you in Christ? And this is important. Do not assume that because you have said the sinner's prayer, you are a child of God, yeah? Do you know who you are? Number three, how may you be a blessing to others like Abraham? We are called to be witnesses, yeah? The last one is, why should you be a faithful and obedient witness for Christ? Now I'd like to give a word to the unbeliever, to those who are outside of the kingdom of God. God is real, and he's a true and living God. His word is true, and his word will come to pass. His word proclaims loudly and clearly that salvation from the penalty and power of sin comes not by works, but by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross to ransom us. He was buried, and he rose again from the dead according to Scriptures. The true gospel or good news calls us back from the Mosaic law to grace and from legalism to faith. I plead with you to repent of your sins and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you know the famous quotation from John chapter 3, verse 16. I will read to 19. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. It is clear that if we do not accept the testimony of Jesus Christ, we are condemned. Yeah? If we do not come, all right, to Jesus Christ for salvation. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us to be faithful and obedient like Abraham, our father of faith. Thank you for your promises and unconditional covenant to Abraham, which is continued through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are now your children by faith. Thank you that in Christ we have found our identity and purpose in life, which is to enjoy you and glorify you always. Help us to share your blessings with others so that they too may come to saving faith. May your kingdom come and may your will be done in our lives. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.